Welcome to the Feed Central Hay Matters podcast, your go-to source for all things hay-related in Australia. I'm your host, John Paul Driver. In today's episode, we're joined by Sean Han. Sean's the Toowoomba Hay Farm Manager for Feed Central. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, JP.
Today, we're talking about fire ants. I'm the perfect one to ask the dumbest questions because I know nothing about fire ants. I live in a place that has real winters, so we don't have them. And I understand you've gone through quite the learning process in managing through fire ants. Where do we start?
We've had a very steep learning curve. We've been lucky to date that we've been quite removed from the fire ant infestation on the east coast of Australia. We've been far enough away for a long time now that it hasn't really had any impact. We've not had to worry. But a recent discovery within a couple of kilometres of our Oaky storage facility has meant we've had to very quickly get up to speed.
So I was there in August of 23, and I don't remember much discussion about fire ants, just that it's a possibility on the occasion. Not to get too technical, but what's the problem with fire ants?
The problem we've got with fire ants, because they're an introduced pest species and they do significant damage to crops, and they're obviously not nice for people.
Yeah, the name doesn't sound good.
Yeah, that's right. They've got a sting similar to that of a bee from their abdomen, so it's not like a, when I say a standard ant, the normal ant that bites you.
Yeah.
It's actually a stinging ant, so
okay.
It's quite painful. And from my understanding, thank goodness haven't been stung myself, but from watching other videos of people who've had some dealings with them, it is like a fire burning feeling once you've been stung.
Wow. So there's been, is outbreak the right word?
Yeah, I guess a new outbreak in a new area.
Mm-hmm.
So the way the Queensland Department of Agriculture and Fishery approaches it is once they have a reported nest and do investigation, they create a 5 kilometre radius around that zone, which is what they deem to be the contaminated area.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go to investigating, searching, treating and that sort of thing. But yeah, effectively, if you're within that 5 kilometre radius of that nest, you then become part of a fire ant zone.
How long have you been in the fire ant zone?
We had this happen late May. We were designated a fire ant zone.
Mm-hmm.
Had to put everything in place, create biosecurity documents, work with the National Fire Ant Eradication Program inspectors from the Department of Agriculture and Fisheries, get up to date, do the learnings, work to the Queensland Government Biosecurity 2016 guidelines, put in biosecurity control measures, really, really quickly get up to speed so that we can be compliant and be on the forefront and the front foot with all the requirements, and then work to exceeding those requirements so that we can give our customers some confidence that we're doing everything we need to plus more.
And what are some of those measures?
I think a minimum from our understanding from working to the legislation would be concrete floors or bitumen floors in storage sheds, chemical barriers. You can have a 200 micron plastic put down, then a chemical barrier or off-ground storage. There's lots of different bits and pieces when around hay production, and from time of cutting to raking to baling to putting into storage to try and prevent fire ants contaminating that crop and that harvest.
The worst outcome would be to have an infestation and then have it transported somewhere else and be part of the problem.
And then move it, 100%. And that was our main concern, because we're very lucky that none of our farms that have been procured in the last 12 to 18 months are inside the fire ant zone. So we're not producing any hay inside the fire ant zone. We just have a storage facility that happened to land inside that 5 kilometre radius. We're also very lucky that it's completely enclosed, bitumen floors, plastic down as an extra, which we were doing to help with moisture into those mm-hmm. bottom bales. It wasn't fire ant related at the time, but it's proved to be a very good measure for that as well. And then we just had to quickly get our local pest control company to come and using the correct chemicals specified by the Queensland government, create that chemical barrier around the shed as well. You have got our staff up to speed, done the online training, got them through the fire ant course, got them certified as completed, and then put in some other things such as using our Safe Ag system to record weekly inspections, which is above and beyond anything that we're required to do. But it's just one of those things that we've thought, while we're doing it, let's put some policies and procedures in place that outstrip the requirements of the government so that we can show we're really taking it seriously and doing everything we can to be on top of the problem.
Great. I mean, that sounds like a very proactive approach.
And that's what we're trying to do, because I know we don't want to be part of the problem. Like you said, we'd hate to be responsible for having a product, transporting it, and then being found that it had a fire ant contamination, that we've been part of that spread. Yeah, from a personal perspective and a business perspective, we just want to do everything we can to be 100% on the forefront and doing more than we have to, so that we can say we're taking the absolute most measures we can commit to prevent that.
Now, what comes next? Do they have any timelines for you as to when that fire ant zone won't be a problem anymore?
There's no real clear indication of if it will ever be removed. I'm not sure how that works. If it can be, from our understanding, that it can possibly be downgraded from a zone one to a zone two. But at the moment, we're in a zone one, which is discovery of nest sites and being treated within a certain time frame. So I think we'll be on that path for a fair amount of time while they use the baiting programs that they've got in place that the government's utilising, as well as the chemical treatment of nests, and go through the process of helping break down that colony and try and rid the area of it.
So, ongoing efforts.
Yeah, always ongoing. I think the best way forward is just to continue irrespectively, kit out our sites, kit out our storage facilities as if we have the problem. We're very lucky, most of our storage sheds have got concrete or bitumen floors, all sides enclosed, if not most sides enclosed. So we're very lucky to have such good storage and farm facilities that puts us in a good position to deal with the legislation to start with. I guess we're just going to make every effort from here forward to be on the forefront, be open and transparent and honest with our customers, take them along the journey that we've come along, help people where we can help them if they're feeling overwhelmed, because it was a big thing to deal with on such a short time frame, when effectively from the day they zoned us fire ant zone one, we had to stop trading. We had $500,000, a couple hundred ton of product in a storage shed. We had contracts to go out. We had committed to clients that we'd do deliveries, but we couldn't move that product until we had met all the legislation and then gone through, had an inspector come and inspect and deem us compliant. You know, for someone coming into that from the outside, it's a lot to learn. And when you've got financial commitments and customer commitments riding on it, it's good to be able to share that knowledge with the industry, anyone who wants some help or wants to talk through it, which is predominantly why we'd like to do this today and continue down that path of helping people as well as doing everything we need to, I suppose.
Are there resources available through Feed Central to deal with fire ants specifically?
We're currently in the process of creating a landing page on the Toowoomba Hay Farm website where we can help other people, maybe just those important links, how to find the information quickly, where to get certification, the training, how to find the biosecurity documents and pull that information out of what can sometimes be a challenging web platform to get it all out. So yeah, we're working on that at the moment.
If somebody does run into this problem that you've had, can they reach out?
100%. We're more than happy to help anyone, industry-based or not, that would like to have a chat and go over the information. And we're by no means the expert, but having gone through it, I can definitely feel for people that have ended up in the same position looking for someone just to talk through where to start or who to speak to. We're very lucky to have quite a good inspector in the area, Matt Lowry, that we work with from Department of Agriculture and Fishery. He was exceptionally helpful. So we're happy to put people in contact with him, and I'm sure he's happy to chat to everyone as well.
Good deal. Sounds like you have some great resources and you're willing to share and help others along the way. You've survived the crisis mode, and now that you're managing it and willing to help others.
Thank you. We've been very lucky. We've had a good team to support us, and there's some good industry professionals that have got on board pretty quickly. So
I want to say thank you for your thoughts today. I think this is a great story to tell. Certainly in agriculture, we're not alone when it comes to these crisis moments and rules and regulations and systems that you have to learn really quick.
For sure.
Again, we've been joined by Sean Hahn. He's the Toowoomba Hay Farm Manager. What's the website, Sean?
It's toowoombahayfarm.com.au.
Simple enough. I suspect you'll be able to go to that and find the resources. And certainly, I bet you if you call into the Toowoomba Hay Farm, they'll be able to help you too. This podcast is proudly presented by Feed Central. Stay tuned in for upcoming episodes.